A reading from the book of Galatians. But in the past, since you didn't know God, you were enslaved to things that by nature are not God's. But now, since you know God, or rather have become known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elements? Do you want to be enslaved to them all over again? You are observing special days, months, seasons, and years. I am fearful for you, that perhaps my labor for you has been wasted. I beg you, brothers and sisters, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You have not wronged me. You know that previously I preached the gospel to you because of a weakness of the flesh. You did not despise or reject me, though my physical condition was a trial for you. On the contrary, you received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus himself. Where then is your blessing? For I testify to you that, if possible, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. So then, have I become your enemy because I told you the truth? They court you eagerly, but not for good. They want to exclude you from me so that you would pursue them. But it is always good to be pursued in a good manner, and not just when I am with you. My children, I am again suffering labor pains for you until Christ is formed in you. I would like to be with you right now and change my tone of voice because I don't know what to do about you. The word of the Lord.
Good morning. We are back in Galatians. For those who are new with us, my name is Cody Quinn. I'm the pastor of Students and Connections here at One Fellowship. And before we dive into the passage you just heard read, let me say a quick word of prayer. Father, thank you for this opportunity to hear from your word. Help us to do just that, to hear from your word, to receive your word, and to let that word shape us and form us to be more like you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Are we seriously having this conversation again? Maybe you've said some of these things before. Are we seriously dealing with this situation again? Are we really back here having this same conversation again? For real? Seriously? Parents, I'm sure you have never said these words. Once you tell your kids or your husband something, it's done. It's never to be brought back up. Whatever was stated, it has been done and will be done for the rest of eternity as the days go on. I heard that a lot when I was a kid. Lately, I've heard that a lot too. We're all in this, and maybe sometimes we feel like this. And back where we started. We're just right back where we are. And a lot of times we may feel like the rescuer, but in reality we are the sheep most often. The reality is, no matter your age, you and I, we are prone to wander. We are prone to stray, and often we stray back to something we've previously done. An old habit, a former belief system, an old relationship, a former comfort, only to realize that we are back in the ditch. Only to realize we are trapped yet again, trapped in an old way of life that led to many things. Poor quality of life, a lack of fulfillment, a lack of joy. We're back. You name it, we find ourselves in these situations. Maybe you're saying it to yourself, am I seriously here again? That's where we find the Galatians today. Paul is saying, yet again, do we really need to have this conversation again? Did you seriously think this was a good idea? Haven't I taught you a better way? Haven't you known a better way? And again, more often than we'd like to admit, we find ourselves right in that same spot. So as we talk through our passage today, here is the big idea. Courageous living and humble confrontation are essential to Christ-centeredness, so that we don't stray, so that we don't veer from our goal to be more and more like Christ. Paul, in this passage, courageous living and humble confrontation are essential to staying Christ-centered. So point one, courageous living, picking up in verse 8 of chapter 4 of Galatians, it reads this way. But in the past, since you didn't know God, you were enslaved to the things that by nature are not God's. By now, since you know God, or rather have become known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elements? Do you want to be enslaved to them all over again? You're observing special days, months, seasons, and years. And so since we've been in this book of Galatians, you've heard it. The Galatians have turned from the gospel, the freedom that is found in Christ, that Christ has fulfilled the law. There's no earning their way to God or earning their way to blessing. And yet, Paul is still here hammering them about this works-based living again. For the Galatians, this was their crux. This was the idol of their day. This was their ditch that they just kept running back to. They were being formed by these prideful teachers and with bad teachings. And here is what we have to realize is that no matter where we are, no matter who we're listening to, what we're watching, we are all being formed. We are all being shaped by the culture around us. Christian and non-Christian alike, no one's off the hook. From the sports you watch, the music, the podcast, the books, your friends, your coworkers, Apple TV, the ads, your church, you name it, you, if you're breathing, you're being formed. You're being molded. You're being shaped into someone. John Mark Comer, in his new book, Practicing the Way, says it this way. The world, as it's called in the New Testament, is forming us constantly. But the question is, what is it forming us into? Or who is it forming us into? What are you being formed into? The Galatians were being formed by the message that works could save them. The law could bring life and joy, and in reality, and what Paul is saying is that that's like going back to slavery, destined to be unfulfilled by a lifeless pursuit. Just like back in Exodus, when the Israelites have been saved from captivity, saved from literal slavery, they're on the road with God guiding them by fire by night and a cloud by day, and yet they still say the food was better back there. The ditch was better. Take us back. But it was slavery. Are you pursuing things that lead you back to slavery? That lead you to guilt? That lead you to shame? That lead you to bondage? What cultural messages are shaping you? Are you being formed by the cultural message that happiness is life's ultimate goal? If so, you'll pursue things that only make you happy. And as you read the Gospels, as you read Scripture, you never read that Christ came to make you happy. That is never an end goal. But you do read, among many other truths, to rejoice in suffering. If you're being shaped by the cultural message of be happy, you'll miss the suffering. As hard as it may be, you'll miss the truth of that, among other messages. Are you being formed by the message of what you feel is who you are and should be? Now, let me back up. I know my southern accent, I know it just sounded like I said feel, but I meant to say feel, okay? So feel, two E's. There's an F, there's two E's, there's an L. Feel. Okay, just so we're on the same page, okay? I recognize what I said. Are you being formed by the message of what you feel is who you are? Thank you. Thank you, yeah. By what you feel is who you are and who you should be. Again, if that's true of you, you'll chase anything that makes you feel good or that you agree with. And when we read scripture, we read that the heart is deceptive above all things. Our feelings are deceptive. They're not invalid, but they're not meant to form. They're meant to inform. Are you being formed by your feelings? Paul urges the Galatians and us today to not let culture or the false messages from all the messengers of culture form us, to identify the idols in our life and to courageously choose a different path. It takes courage to choose a different path today, to repent, to turn back to Christ and to turn to his way of life, because that is where joy and true freedom is found. And then Paul shifts his argument. He challenges the Galatians to become as he is, which again, this is not a prideful statement. This is a, hey, watch me, see how I live so that you'll see who Christ is. Look at me so that you can see who Christ is. He goes on to say that it was through his suffering that he came to teach the Galatians. So if he never suffered, he wouldn't have even been there in the first place. And look at the good. And they treated him well. They treated him so good. They loved Paul. He even goes on to say, if I were to lose my eye and need an eye, you would have gouged one out to give to me. They loved Paul. They loved his message. Almost just busted it up here. They loved his message. But something had changed. Something had changed in the Galatians' heart. Which takes us to point two. Humble confrontation. Starting in verse 16 to 18. So then, have I become your enemy because I've told you the truth? They court you eagerly, but not for good. They want to exclude you from me so that you would pursue them, but it is always good to be pursued in a good manner. None of us like to be confronted. Now, some of us may like confrontation, but none of us, when it's pointed at us, like to be confronted. When we're the ones who have done the wrongdoing, when we're the ones being called out, it's not a fun feeling. It stings. It hurts. I remember one time sitting in my best friend Ryan's home, and this was years ago, and I can't remember exactly what we were talking about, what we were processing, what we were trying to decide, but I just knew that my idea was the best idea. My plan was the better plan of the two that had been presented, and he looked at me, and he said, you know, Cody, and he said, I do remember those three words specifically. You know, Cody, you don't always have to be right. One, you're not always right, first off, but you don't always have to be right. Your way isn't always the best. And in that moment, it's like time stood still for me. I had a rush of emotions. I was hurt that he would say something that blunt to me sitting right across from him. I felt ashamed because he was calling me out for something I did, for something I said, and I didn't like it. And honestly, in that moment, I didn't like Ryan very much. It's like this friendship, not quite a friendship, doesn't feel like that. But I needed it. I needed him to say that. What Ryan was recognizing was this wasn't a one-time moment. This was something that was becoming a personality trait. Having to be right, having to always have the right plan. And he was calling me out, not out of spite, not out of, hey, my plan is right here, but out of love. He saw something within me that needed to be changed, something that was off. And the same heartbeat is here with Paul to the Galatians, to confront their waywardness. It's a loving pursuit for the Galatians to fall back in love with Christ, which leads to freedom rather than return to the worthless cultural idols that lead back to slavery. Rather than follow a group of people who just want to make their name great rather than God's name great. And they now are treating Paul as if he were evil, as if he were the problem. But Paul's goal was different. His pursuit had a different name. It was not his name. He was not trying to lift himself higher, but he was trying to make God famous. He wasn't trying to take over and be head of the Galatians, but he was trying to turn their eyes and turn their hearts back toward God, where freedom could be found. Do you have people in your life with permission to speak in? Now, everyone shouldn't be able to speak in that bluntly. Everyone shouldn't be able to, but do you have one, two, three people that can speak in to lovingly, but honestly and directly confront you in your waywardness? To highlight those areas in life where you are being formed by culture rather than Christ. See, Paul confronts the Galatians for a purpose, for their lives to be Christ-centered. And if you don't have those people, or if you can't take confrontation like that, then it's a problem if you're trying to be Christ-centered. And we'll come back to people in our lives. But point three takes us to Christ-centeredness. Christ-centeredness. Going to the second half of verse 18 to 19. And not just when I am with you, my children, I am again suffering labor pains for you until Christ is formed in you. Christ is formed in you. Paul's mission is to help guide the Galatians into a forming relationship with Christ where their minds and their hearts are fixed on Christ, where all of their life is centered on him. And he wants it so badly for them that he describes it as labor pains. So now, women, moms, don't roll your eyes at Paul here talking about something he knows nothing about. But Tim Keller, in his commentary, he talks about this verse, and he talks about how a mom just wants that kid out for obvious reasons, but also to live on their own, to thrive and to live on their own. Paul wants the Galatians to get it, and it's killing them. He's been giving all this effort. He even goes back to say, have I wasted all my time? He wants it for them so bad because he knows that's where joy and life is found in Christ. For the Galatians to own their faith and to stop being swayed by culture. So why does Paul say this? Why does he say it with such passion? What is so good about Christ? Why is it better than anything this culture can offer? Anything better than we can even offer ourselves? Well, this takes us back to verse 9. Verse 9 of Galatians 4. But now, since you know God, or rather have become known by God, Jesus fully knows the Galatians and their shortcomings. He knows that they continue to run back to the ditch. He knows you continue to run back to the ditch, and I continue to run back, that we have shortcomings, that we often choose to serve other idols. We make idols out of our jobs, out of our paychecks, out of our identity, out of our sports teams, out of our kids. He knows we seek fulfillment and purpose in many things other than him. He knows we let the pursuit of happiness drive our decisions. He knows we make choices based purely on our wants and our desires rather than his way, and yet he fully loves us. He fully knows us, and yet he fully loves us. 1 John 4:10 in the Message reads this way. This is the kind of love we are talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. Our sin damages our relationship with God, but he still loves us. It's all about God's love. That's why Paul is so worked up. This is why he's asking, are you serious? Back here again? back here again. Don't you see Christ's love? He won't steer you wrong. Again, parents in the room, have you ever said that to your kid? You get the idea here. I'm not going to steer you wrong. Listen. But if we're not intentional, we will be swayed away from Christ and his love, just like the Galatians. Comer, again, in his book, reads this. For those of us who desire to follow Jesus, here is the reality we must turn and face. If we're not being intentionally formed by Jesus himself, then it's highly likely we are being unintentionally formed by someone or something else. You and I are being formed every moment of every day, intentionally or unintentionally. Who are you being formed into, and what are you being informed by? Okay, so how? Christ is better. Christ is where joy is. Christ is where full life and fulfillment comes through. But how do we stay centered? With so many messages, with so many things pouring in, how do we stay centered? How do we make sure we're living Christ-centered? And I know you're thinking exactly what I'm thinking right now. I know you're on the same page. This message has brought you to the same point it's brought me, and that is tugboats. You're all thinking tugboats, I know. Here's what I need you to do for just a second. I need you to close your eyes, okay? Nothing scary is going to happen, I promise. I promise as much as I can. Nothing scary. But I need you to imagine a tugboat. Okay, picture a tugboat, okay? If you've never seen a tugboat, I don't know what you're going to picture. But hold on, can't see him yet. I got some props today, but tugboats, some of you guys get a little sneak peek, don't tell. But tugboats, this is where after, when you're preparing a sermon, you read the passage, read the passage, read the passage. You can open your eyes, sorry. Sorry about that. Y'all were about to be there for a long time. When you prepare a sermon, you read the passage, read the passage, read the passage, sit, read the passage, read the passage, read the passage, sit with it. You come up with a big idea, what God's telling you. And then for me, after I had the big idea here, I thought tugboats. Again, it may seem wild, but hopefully we'll tie them here. But this is our tugboat today, okay? I'm not a parent yet, but stores don't sell boats, okay? So maybe I don't know where to go. Now, I did find this boat, but this is the only boat, but I couldn't have the same tugboat and boat's different. So here we go. Let me do this so that you can see it, okay? We have our tugboat, we have our boat. A boat, a ship, has a destination, okay? And the tugboat's job is to help that ship get there. Because of their size, because of the space to get there, it's hard for them to maneuver into the space that they need to go. And so the tugboat assists. They help, they push, they pull, they guide the boat into port. And now, why this made me think of this and how does this correlate to applying this to our life is, well, again, let's keep describing tugboats because I read too many articles not to keep talking about this, which they all said the same thing. So if you want to know more, just read one article. That's all you got to go. But sometimes you'll see a tugboat in front of the boat and they're just pulling them, right? Just pulling the boat to a certain space. The tugboat knows where the boat wants to go and it's going to get them there. Now, this is where an article actually did help me out because I've seen tugboats in the back. I've always been like, that seems pointless. I don't understand what that's going. But what's happening, when you see a tugboat in the back, they're guiding the ship left and right, turning the back of the boat so that the front of the boat is pointing and going the correct direction. But then sometimes you'll see the next formation a tugboat could take is right beside, tied up right next to the ship, pushing, pulling, guiding the ship into where it needs to go. And our life is the same. We need people to push and pull and guide us into Christ-centeredness. We cannot do life alone. You hear that all the time. If you've been here at One Fellowship, you hear that all the time. You can't do life alone, and it's true. You'll be formed by other voices. Who can we surround ourselves with? What can we surround ourselves with to stay Christ-centered? And so application point one is to set your destination. Where are you going? Who do you want to be formed by? Who do you want to become? You gotta know where you're going first. That determines everything. If you're going on a trip, you gotta know where you're going to know what to pack and all of that. Set your destination. And in our day and age, it takes courage. This is courageously living in the face of all these other voices to choose Christ. Set your destination. And our hope here at One Fellowship, the whole reason we exist is so that you'll know, is that you'll be with Christ and be like Christ. Our hope is for you to be like Christ. He is where the joy is found, if you read the Bible recap. So set your destination. But then next, and I tried to stay away from nautical terms, so just ignore the cheese of this, but find your fleet. Find your fleet. Here's the definition for fleet and why I just couldn't choose something else. A fleet is a group of ships sailing together, engaged in the same activity and or under the same ownership. And that's the Christian life. Finding people who will pull you and push you and guide you to be who you want to become, to be more like Christ. You need people who are in front of you, who are a stage or two or 10 in front of you to pull you, to challenge you, to take you to where you don't even know you want to go, to take you the next step. You need people behind you. You need habits behind you to guide you. This kind of back tugboat, I think of as habits. They keep you pointed the right direction. This is daily Bible reading. This is weekly church attendance. This is life group attendance. This is fasting. There's all sorts of habits you can put in your life to help yourself stay Christ-centered. And then side by side is life on life. This is where life groups come in. The people in your life group, the one or two people in your life group that can speak directly and honestly to you. And the hard part about all this and finding a fleet is that there's tension everywhere. Whether the person's in front, behind, or beside you, there's tension. There's tension with the ropes here. There's tension side by side. You're hitting each other. And we don't like confrontation. But if it's done lovingly, if it's done in a humble way, if it's received in a humble way, then that'll take us further where we want to go. It'll help us to become who we want to be. So set your destination. Find your fleet. Find those who can push and pull and guide you to be more like Christ. Courageous living and humble confrontation are essential to Christ-centeredness. They're essential in ensuring we stand firm in Christ rather than being formed by the culture around us. Let us pray. This is from Ephesians. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width, height and depth of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work in us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.